Well, we've been looking at, when I've taught through Proverbs this summer, this same idea from Proverbs chapter 3. We've been looking at a father's astounding argument for wisdom. And left off at different places with the junior high and with the high school. So junior high, this will be a touch of review for you. High school, most of this will be new with a little bit of review. All right, but you look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching." And then he goes on and on and on, and he is making an argument for wisdom. And his argument is that his son should acquire wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what is right, and it is doing what is right. And he is encouraging his son to do this, and there are many blessings that go along with this, and there are many descriptions of wisdom that the father gives to the son to encourage him to do that. You know, each one of your dads and your moms have special ways that they try to get you to believe something or to do something. My dad at times was very persuasive. At other times he was not persuasive. I don't know how your dad ends up ranking in that. But here, the arguments are just amazing. And they're irrefutable. You can't argue with them. It is true that wisdom is awesome. It is true that wisdom is the best thing for your life. And the question I'm going to ask you when it all comes down to this is, what steps have you taken this summer to acquire wisdom? All right, that's something that we'll cover, and that's something that we'll look at as well. Okay. In Proverbs 4:15, it reads this. Flip over there with me. Oh, sorry, 4:5. "Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth." And that's what we're going with this. This is what the Father wants them to do. Oh yeah, if you never know what that crazy... there's not a ginormous animal running up there or anything like that. A lot of times some of you are really cold in here. Well, we keep it really cold so it doesn't make that crazy noise, because every time it kicks back on, it goes through there. But rest assured, there is no dangerous beast that is lurking trying to eat you. Except for maybe some of the youth leaders. What I thought would be a nice way to start off today is if we would read the first 12 verses of Proverbs 3. And on your outline, you can go ahead and write this down. It's Papa's prompts and promises. And we have looked in the first two parts that I've taught at these prompts and these promises. We're going to wrap that up, and then we are going to move on to the next part. So, point one on your outline, Papa's prompts and promises. I asked you guys to throw in a, you know, call your dad Pop, you know, once or twice maybe. Has anyone done that? No. Okay, all right. Kevin got he's got my back, all right? Let's read through this together, all right? Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12, and it probably looks a little easier on your Bible there. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." Hopefully, your mind is being jogged a little bit to some of the things that we had learned. But in the first 12 verses, you have the odd verses are a prompt. They're an instruction. They're an exhortation from the Father to the Son. And then He follows that up, and in the even verses, He says why you should do that. There is a promise there. It's an encouragement. And it is a guarantee from the Lord that these things, the wisdom is great and wisdom is wonderful because of these promises. It says in verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Well, what is the promise? Well, it's life and peace. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. This one is a generalization. It doesn't guarantee you that you're going to live to be 100 or live to be 90 or live to be 80. But typically those who heed the instruction of the godly father will have a long life. Not only from the standpoint of, you know, they trust in Christ, they have a long life in eternity with heaven, but also you heed the warnings and you heed the instruction of the father. You know, the dad says, don't walk off this cliff. That is folly. All right. You heed your dad's advice. Don't stick the knife into the electric socket. All right. The same thing. Follow the Lord. Trust the Lord. And as you trust the Lord, as you follow the Lord, you are under His umbrella of protection. Your enemies will not have victory over you because God is there. The second thing we looked at is kindness and truth. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Don't let them get away. Chain them down. Keep them with you. Write them on your heart. And what is it that you receive? What is the promise that goes with this favor with God and people? So you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Number three, trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You get a straight path. You are on God's path. You are doing God's will. He will straighten your path for you. That doesn't mean that there's no affliction. Doesn't mean that there's no persecution. Yeah, those things come. But it is part of God's plan, and He will smooth your way even through those rough times. The fourth prompt that we looked at was fear the Lord. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The fear of the Lord is the what? Someone finish that? Lisa, I see you going. Boom, boom. Yeah, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To understand who God is, to have a reverence for who God is to be wise and to be able to receive instruction and to obey that instruction. And what you will receive is healing and refreshment. It will be healing to your body, refreshment to your bones. You know, I made this illustration. I don't know if I got to it with the... I think I did with the high school. You know, it's like a video game, and sometimes when you get really low in energy, it goes beep, 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 and it's real annoying. So you got to find the heart or the energy packet or whatever, and when you find it, you're like... And then you got all your energy back. Trusting in God, fearing God is a refreshment to your soul. You are dead. You are dying in your sin. And this is just such an encouragement, refreshment and healing to you. Well, here's where we ended in a little bit different place. With the junior high, I was able to get through prompt 5 and 6 and the promises with 5 and 6. But high school, I talked a little long in the earlier part of the lesson, so we didn't get there. Right? So junior high, I'm sure you remember exactly what I said. All right, just, you know, let this roll in your brain a little bit more, okay? Papa's fifth prompt, and you can summarize it however you'd like to on your little piece of paper there. It might be easy to say something along the lines of honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. I don't know, that's just me. If you don't have time to write all that down, you can come up with a summary statement, all right? Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. And all of these things is talking about, you know, let kindness and truth be the characteristics that drive you. You know, obey the commandments that are there. Trust in God. And then he throws in this one. What place does this one have with all of the other ones? Well, if you trust the Lord, if you're going to obey the Lord, if you're going to do what's right before the Lord, be wise before the Lord, when it comes to your wealth, when it comes to what you have, when it comes to your possessions, you will take those things and you will do what with them? You will honor the Lord with those things. You will take those things and you will ascribe honor and glory to the Father. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. The first of all of your produce. Remember in the Old Testament sacrificial system? What were they to bring when they came to the priests? If they were going to take something from their flock, like a sheep or a lamb or something like that, what type of sheep were they supposed to bring before them? Yeah, Sarah. A perfect one, right? You don't bring the nasty old scraggly sheep that no one wants. You don't take the three-legged lamb to the priest and say, here's my offering. No, no, no. You look at it and you say, oh, that one is sweet. that one, there is no blemish, there is no mark on this one. That's the one I'm going to take, and that's the one I'm going to give to the Lord. Well, in the eyes of the world, that doesn't make sense, right? You say, whoa, if I'm going to survive, if I'm going to do well, if I'm going to be profitable and be successful, I keep the best. I use the best. I eat the best. I sell the best. That's what I need to do. I can't just give it to be killed. Ah, but in God's eyes, it is best to honor God and to trust God, because when you say, God, I'm going to give you the best of what I have, and then I'm going to trust you to iron out all the other details. That's what God's plan is. That is honoring and glorifying to Him. And with that, you honor the Lord. You give weight to the Lord. You give value to the Lord in your life. When you examine yourself and when others examine you, they see that you are someone that takes what you have and you give it up to the Lord. And in doing so, you don't do it for your own glory. You do it for the honor of the Lord. Remember, the Pharisees struggled with that. It was like they would come in and Jesus had a picture of them like blowing trumpets saying, "Here I am, here I'm giving to God." But He's like, no, don't let your right hand know, you know, be secret with this. Give with this, but don't let everyone know that. But in doing so, you honor the Lord from your wealth, from the first of all your produce. How many farmers do we have in here? A couple. All right. Most of you don't have much produce. You don't have much livestock and things like that, but you still have wealth, and we'll look at that. All right. Psalm 50, God says this. He says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you, for your sacrifices and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills." You get what God's saying? When you sacrifice to me, don't feel like you're giving up so much of what you own. He's saying, you're just returning to me what's already mine. I own that. That lamb that you bring, that bull that you bring, that dove that you bring, the grain that you bring, I already own that. It's already mine. So you are to use those things that I have blessed you with for my glory and for my honor. It says in verse 11, "I know every bird of the mountains and everything that moves in the field, it is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you," and what? "You will honor me." Papa's fifth promise that he gives us is found in verse 10. He tells us to honor the Lord from our wealth, from the first of all our produce. "So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." Basically here, we are going to see that God will provide. Too many people think, well, if I give up a little bit of this, then He's going to zap me with this overabundance and wealth. What He's saying here is, trust God. It may be in a literal sense that He blesses you with these things. It may be in a spiritual sense. But the idea is that you trust in God. And when you trust in God, you will be blessed. You will be provided for. I was flipping through the channels last night and I came across this infomercial, and it took me a while to figure out whether it was a real commercial or whether it was like a bad skit from a TV show. And it was a guy who was a pastor. He was like Peter Popoff or something like that. I didn't know if that was real or not. But it just for free, I could call him up and I could get his anointing tool, which looked like a birthday card, and I could get holy water. And with that, I would be blessed. All my debt would be magically canceled. And, I was curious to call. I wanted to call and see what the thing was, because I know that there's some catch. It's not really free. All right. But they were just using God like a good luck charm. Get these holy special things and then boom, your debt's canceled. You're going to have all of this money. It's going to be amazing. Well, that's not what these verses are teaching. These verses are teaching from what you have, you give honor to the Lord. And in that, God will bless you. God will provide for you. In this case, it says your barns will be filled with plenty. You won't have to worry about what to eat. You'll have enough to eat. You'll have plenty to eat. And your vats will overflow with new wine. You'll have everything that it is that you would need. What wealth do you have to give to the Lord? This is where I want you to raise your hand and tell me. What wealth do you guys have to give to the Lord? Sarah? Your time, right? And I love that. You didn't say your money, because And we'll face it. Come on. Only a few of you are rich. And can I borrow some money, you guys that are rich? Okay. A lot of you, you get an allowance, right? And the allowance pretty much these days go to gas. And, you know, not much else or something like that. How many of you guys have jobs? You raking in the big bucks these days? Some of you are. All right. But you know what? Money isn't your greatest asset that you have. Can you still give to God from that? Absolutely. And it's no small amount. Like, you don't say, well, I only made like 50 bucks this week. I can't really do anything with that. You know, I only have a $10 allowance. I can't really do much with that. You know, the VBS we were at in Colorado Springs, these little kids, we would tell them about a missionary, just like we do here, right? And we would ask them to give. And at the beginning, I was like, wow, this isn't really going to amount to anything. You know, they're barely giving. But you know what? They kept giving. And it was just a little bit each day. At the end, they had about 45 bucks. And with that 45 bucks, they're going to be able to meet some of the needs of the missionary. Small thing. Small thing, but it's $45 that missionary doesn't have to worry about anymore. There's that rabbit running through. And one little girl brought all her pennies. All her pennies in a plastic sack, which I promptly asked Hannah to count because I had no idea how many pennies were in that. All right, but she brought it all. She brought all of what she had and she gave it, and the Lord can use that in an amazing way. You guys have things like time. And what else? Yeah, Michael. All right. What else? Reese? Skills and talents. You have gifts given to you from the Lord that you can use. You have energy. You have energy. And like what Sarah said, when you take your time and you have energy and you put those things to the Lord and you give those things to the Lord, you can do a lot of things for the Lord. Do you give? Do you give from your wealth? You may not have any money at all, but you can still heed this prompt, you can still receive the blessing of this promise. And when you do get money, don't just think of all the wonderful things that you can buy. My mom used to give me $5 every week if I vacuumed the house and I took out the trash. And I would go buy baseball cards every week. Me and my buddy Jesse, we were baseball geeks. We would run through the store and we would buy all the Donruss baseball cards we could get and we would eat all the bubble gum. And I think, you know what, even that $5... I could have been giving to the Lord. I could have been doing something for the Lord and accomplishing something. That's what our mindset needs to be. Well, Papa's sixth prompt. This is the one that, you know, you love and you're just like, yeah! It says, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe His reproof. You would be amazed if anyone rejected anything from God, right? Anyone that loves God and knows God, if God gives you something, you know, there's a present on Emily's doorstep and it says from the Lord, and she goes, you know what? Nah, I don't really want that thing. All right? There's lots of things we ask the Lord for, but He gives to us even His discipline. It says you're not to reject that, you're to embrace that. You're supposed to know the role that it has in your life. But instead, sometimes people loathe God's reproof. They loathe God's correcting hand. And that word reminded me of the people when they were in the wilderness, right? In Numbers 21, and I know that's kind of small, but I'll read it for you. As the people were in the wilderness, it says the people spoke against God and Moses and says, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. God, because remember, God was providing for them each and every day, right? They didn't go to the 7-Eleven when they're in the desert and get something delicious. They didn't have the Days Inn Continental Breakfast to go to and things like that. God gave them their food. And every day they went out and they collected just what they needed. And they began to say, God, it's not good enough anymore. It's disgusting to us. We loathe it. So what did the Lord do? The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people so that many of the people of Israel died. In the same way as God provided them food to eat, to sustain their life, He provides to us discipline, and that discipline corrects us, and that discipline refines us, and it reminds us that, whoa, life's not about me, life's about God. And too often, we reject that discipline. We hate that discipline. A lot of times that discipline can come from your parents, because God has put them as authorities over you to make sure that you do the right things. It could be your teachers. It could be in some other direct way. Don't reject the discipline of the Lord. See what it is for what it is, and love it and learn from it. What's the promise that goes along with this? For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. You're one of God's children if you have trusted in Christ. And He loves you. And that's why He corrects you. That's why it is that He reproves you. You can't always see the love from your parents when they correct you in something, can you? You can't always see that in what God is doing and how He is correcting you, but you need to remember that. You need to remind yourself of that. Hopefully that helps you with your parents, is just saying, you know what, I know that they love me. I don't understand everything, but I know that they love me. Well, God loves us. What kind of child would be brought up with parents that don't discipline their child? Pretty wild, right? Pretty unruly. Is that the best thing for the child? No, it's not the best thing for the child. I'm sure you've all seen examples of the parent who gives the kid whatever they want. You know, I want a candy bar. Well, no, not right now. No. Okay, here's a candy bar. Instead of taking them aside and correcting them and disciplining them and teaching them, you don't always get what you want. It's not always good to have a candy bar. You need to wait on those types of things. In the same way, God reproves us. He corrects us because He loves us. We are His children. Hebrews 12, you can just jot that down. We won't have time to turn there. But it talks about the discipline of the Lord. And He does it because He loves us. And He does it as a father does to his children. There were many times that my parents disciplined me. And the times that it worked the best was when I submitted to that and I remembered that and I learned from that. You know, they disciplined my siblings a lot. And I got to see that being the youngest child. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Because I know what's going to happen. All right? See that in the Word where God disciplines people. And say, you know what? I'm not going to go down that road. See that in your life when you are disciplined. And learn from it. Well, shifting gears. The next part, verses 13 through 20. You see Dad's delightful description of wisdom. And this is easier, right? How many of you can get by with calling your dad, Dad, within the next week? Okay, good. If you still want to make me feel better, slip in a papa every once in a while. See if he notices. Okay, Dad's delightful description of wisdom. Because he gives all of these prompts, he gives all of these promises and the same thing of encouraging and urging his son to acquire wisdom. Now he's going to give a beautiful, wonderful description of that wisdom. Look at verses 13 through 20 together. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. He's going to start out with that. You know what? Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. But why? Well, look at the descriptions. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is at her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. Looking at that first verse that is there in verse 13. And this is all on the back. And I know it's upside down. Sorry about that. Hopefully you'll be able to overcome. It says, for her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. What in the world do you think we could write down to describe wisdom? How does Dad delightfully describe wisdom from this verse? I love it that Sarah is a junior high girl And she's not afraid to raise her hand and answer. Sorry, Sarah, I just embarrassed you. Now she's never going to raise her hand. What would you say, Sarah? Yes, wisdom is better than silver or gold. You could put that. I kind of have a little summary word, but you're right in that. That maybe that's why none of you raised your hand. You don't know what my wacky summary word is. Grayson? There we go. All right. Wisdom is profitable. And why is it profitable? Because it is better than silver and it is better than fine gold. You see that twice, right? For her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. The profit is your gain. It is your commerce. Like if someone sells surfboards, there's an X amount of cost that goes into running the shop to buying the surfboards. They sell those for a profit. Let's say that it costs you $100 to run your business and get your surfboard, but you sell your surfboard for $1,000. I have no idea how much surfboards cost. I only said surfboard because Josh looks kind of surfy today. All right, your profit that you would get for selling that surfboard for $1,000 and only putting $100 of money into it would be $900. The profit from seeking the instruction and walking in the commands of the Lord is more valuable than anything you could ever imagine. If we could drill that into our minds, we would be a much stronger people for the Lord, would we not? Go to Proverbs 1. You see this in Proverbs 1. In Proverbs 1, it starts out with verse 2, to know wisdom and understand and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Verse 7, it says, "To the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." In verse 11, you have the father warning his son against those who are going to tell you not to obey God. Says, if people come to you and they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. The motivation here of these bad friends, these bad influences, they say, wisdom, forget about it. Obeying God, forget about it. Let us go lie in wait. Let us go ambush people. Let us go kill people. Why? So we can take their stuff. So that we can have great profit. So our houses will be full. So we can buy whatever it is that we want to buy. That's the profit. The cost of doing this is outweighed by the profit that you get from it. But we know that that way leads to destruction. We know that that way leads to condemnation from the Lord. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that the profit of wisdom is better than the profit of silver, than her gain better than fine gold. How many wrong decisions are made every single day for the sake of the almighty dollar? How many people, when they come to a decision, sit there and say, wow, you know what? This will get me the most money, so I will do this. And that's their only consideration. What will get me the most profit? What will get me the most money? Where instead you should look at it and say, does God want me to do? What does His wisdom teach? What should I do and how should I walk in those ways? Her profit is better than the profit of silver. Her gain better than fine gold. Whatever it may be that you want profit and you desire it in, wisdom is better. You also see in verse 16, it says, in her left hand are riches and honor. Riches and honor come from wisdom. It is profitable. Wisdom is, from verse 15, what are we going to say here? It says, she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Real similar to the last one, but a little bit different. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Wisdom is what? Noah? Precious. What a precious answer right there. Scary, Noah. You're thinking like me. Or there aren't that many words there, and Only one of them starts with a P, so good choice. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. That word precious means rare, splendid, weighty. Diamonds are precious because they are rare. Now, I know that there's lots of diamonds in the world, but it's hard to find the diamonds and get the diamonds out of the place and get the diamonds cut and processed and looking good and stuff like that. All right, but you don't walk around seeing emeralds and go, wow, look at all those emeralds. Those are kind of cool. No, it's rare to see those. It's rare to see rubies and sapphires and all of that stuff. They are rare. And because they are rare, they are precious. And you need to know that wisdom is more precious than jewels. They are rare because wisdom is rare because it only comes from God. But at the same time, it's not just rare, it is splendid. And when you look at that and when you evaluate your life and what it is you desire, nothing you desire compares with her. Think for a moment, and I don't want you to dwell too deeply in this. Think if you got everything that you wanted today. Whether it be sinful desire or whether it be a godly desire. Everything went your way and it was perfect. And you got whatever it is that you wanted. Maybe for some of you, your strongest desire is to go home and play video games nonstop till 4 a.m. and have no one talk with you and no one interrupt you. Maybe some of you would be your strongest desire is to go hide away and to read some incredible adventure book for the rest of the day and no one see you and you don't have to talk to anyone. Maybe your strongest desire is that you would beat your enemies in something and lord it over them. Maybe your strongest desire is something even more wicked. Whatever your strongest desire may be, whatever you think would make you the happiest, it doesn't compare. It does not compare with wisdom. Wisdom is splendid. Wisdom is a precious, precious jewel. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. And it is the best thing. Because remember, wisdom lasts. And even if you see something and you lust after something and you jump in and you commit that sin, does it really ever satisfy you? No. It doesn't satisfy you. But wisdom always satisfies. What would your life look like if you really believe this? You don't have to answer that to me, but I want you to answer that to you. If you really believed that God's wisdom is more precious than jewels, if you really believe that God's wisdom doesn't even compare with those things because it's so amazing. Like if I said, hey, there's $1 million in the parking lot. The first one out there, you get it. You'd all be gone. If I said there's a candy bar in the parking lot, you'd all be gone. God's wisdom is better than any of that. It is. So obviously, what do you want to do? You want to acquire that wisdom. You want to walk in that wisdom. Then how is your life different? At the end of the day, you don't tell me I didn't have enough time to read. I was too busy to read. I thought that this way would work out better. Because it isn't going to. If you live your life with this understanding, your life's going to be different. It's going to be different. It's going to be pleasing and honoring to the Lord. Proverbs 3:16, long life is in her right hand and her left hand are riches and honor. I don't blame you on this one if you don't get it. I'm going to give it to you because I kind of went back and forth. I'm like, there's a lot of things that I think I could go with that. But the thing that struck me, it probably struck you guys too. Wisdom is philanthropic. It's generous. It's got in its right hand and its left hand things that we want. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor, and she is holding those things out to you so that you can have them. Riches and honor. Not you know, shower me with money type of riches, but riches in the Lord. Blessing in the Lord. Honor. Long life. It's just giving it away. Go to Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive one, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Wisdom, it's like in a noisy street, just saying, hey, over here, listen to me. You know, whenever it's cool because if you guys are talking and I have a microphone and I'm like, hey, everyone, go grab a seat. You know, most of you say, oh, I hear that. I'm going to go grab a seat. The wise person hears the wisdom and follows the wisdom and obeys the wisdom, but the fool just rejects it. Yeah. Okay, wisdom, can you be quiet over there? You're a little loud, okay? But wisdom is shouting from the streets. Wisdom is screaming out to you. It's very generous, wants you to partake and to have wisdom. God's Word has been abundant in our life. We all have our own Bibles. We have Bibles at home. We have Bibles at our churches. We have Bibles on our phones. It's just there. Wisdom is calling out to us. Proverbs 16a, I'm going to keep going with that verse 16, and there's something else we can see. It says, long life is in her right hand. Any guesses on our word? Josh? That's close. But come on, you know me better than that. You could do pronged life, but I don't think that would really make sense. Hint. Okay, you give up. Prolonging. Life is in her right hand. Proverbs 13, the first part of it, verse 18 says, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. The picture is, there is life. There is life found in wisdom. Your time doesn't end when you die here on this earth. Your time lasts for eternity. Long life is in her right hand. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Wisdom is prolonging. Proverbs 3, at the beginning of it, we already looked at it. And some of these ideas, the Father is rehashing again and using them as descriptions. Remember it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace. They will add to you. Verse 17, her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Noah? Pleasant, I like it. Paul? Peace, how are we going to put those two together? That's right. Pleasantly peaceful. Wisdom is pleasantly peaceful. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Psalm 119:165 tells us, those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. You know what our world needs? It needs peace. I'm not talking about laying aside guns and not fighting each other in wars and things like that. I'm talking about each individual needs peace with God. And they need to lay down their weapon before God and say, you win. I will trust you in everything. But we need peace in our daily life, don't we? We get anxious and we get nervous and we get worried. And we need God's peace. And if you are to receive instruction and to walk in wisdom, you will have peace and your ways will be pleasant. And again, that doesn't mean that you're protected from every bad thing, because bad things happen, but those are used to strengthen you and to grow you. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Isn't this a great description so far? All of these things are things that we would say, yeah, I want that. Yeah, I need that. That is the best. Proverbs 3:18b says, and happy are all those who hold her fast. That word happy there means it's like the straight path. We're looking at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It doesn't mean like skipping and stuff like that. It means straight are the paths of all of those who hold her fast. And with that straight path, it is pleasant, it is peaceful, because you know that you are in God's will. You know that you are protected by the Father. You know that you are in His graces. You don't live your life with this overwhelming condemnation, not knowing when God's going to bring the hammer down on you. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The last one is found in verses 19 through 20. It says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew." These two verses tell us, it says, the Lord, how did He found the earth? Well, He did it by wisdom. He did it by understanding. He maintains the earth. He created the earth and He maintains the earth by His wisdom. What is it do you think that we can see here? Yeah, Hannah. Oh, yeah, look at that. Powerful. I'm glad someone else thought that too. Wisdom is powerful. You serve an amazing, awesome God. And He is powerful. And by obeying Him, seeking after Him, trusting in Him, there's power in His wisdom. Psalm 104:24 says, "O Lord, how many are Your works? In wisdom You have made them all. The earth is full of Your possessions." It's a pretty glowing picture, isn't it? Pretty glowing pictures. It's prolonging. It's pleasantly peaceful. It is powerful. It is profitable. It is precious. So when we look at the Father's astounding argument for wisdom to His Son, we see that the end is that we need to acquire wisdom. Acquire wisdom. And I know I have the same application every time I teach this because it is the same application. But I want you to ask yourself the same question I asked you before. What steps have you taken this summer to acquire wisdom? I want you to think about that for a second. What steps have you taken this summer to acquire wisdom? Have you diligently read God's Word? Have you asked for help to stay accountable to God's Word from a friend, from a family member, from your leader? Have you come to church consistently so that you can hear the teaching of God's Word? When you come to church, have you decided to listen and not just doodle or mess around or something like that? What steps have you guys taken to acquire wisdom? The summer's not over. Your life isn't over. Your whole life should be about acquiring wisdom. What verse have you memorized lately to help you call to mind quickly God's Word so that you can defend His truth and so that you can know how to live? Anything? If you love the Lord, then you understand that wisdom is precious and wisdom is powerful and that wisdom is prolonging and that wisdom is profitable. You understand all those things and you act upon those things. If you have no desire whatsoever to acquire wisdom, that should be a huge red flag in your life. If you have no desire to obtain wisdom, to acquire wisdom, you don't know the Lord. Needs to start with your faith in Jesus Christ. You need to place your faith in Jesus Christ. For those of us that do know Jesus, is it always easy to acquire wisdom? No. Is it always easy to listen to me teach for 45 minutes? Or, hey, it was only like 42 this time. No, it's not. But we need to discipline ourselves. Is it easy to be disciplined to read God's Word? No, it's not easy. It's never going to be easy, but we need to do it because it is the best thing in our life. All boils down to, do you trust in God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this morning. We thank You that we can come to a place that loves Your Word and that teaches Your Word, Lord God. We thank You that we can gather in our country and have the freedom to open up Your Word and to look at Your truth, Father. And I pray that each one of us in here would have a strong desire to acquire wisdom. I pray that none of us would sit back and say, hey, you know what? I know enough. I apply Your Word enough. No. We need to continue to grow. Continue to know You more, to understand You more. Continue to walk in Your ways even more. Please, Lord, be with us as we diligently seek to do that. We love You, Father. We thank You that You give us Your wisdom. And it's calling out to us, Lord. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.